Hi everyone, welcome to Academics Right. My name is Armand Yıldız and I'm your host. And I have the great pleasure of having Alison Van Deventer and Caitlin Knox today. Welcome to the Academics Right.
Thank you
Thanks
for
so much
having
for having
us.
us. My pleasure. Before we, I mean, we are here to talk about your wonderful book, The Dissertation to Workbook, Exercises for Developing and Revising Your Book Manuscript at recently came out of University of Chicago Press, and I'm really excited about this book as a as someone who is waiting to turn their dissertation into a book. So before we get to the book, can we get to know you a little bit first?
Sure. So this is Caitlin. I am an associate professor of French at the University of Central Arkansas and the associate director of our School of Language and Literature. And the workbook really emerged from what I wished I had known when I was going through the process of turning my own dissertation into my first book.
And I'm Alison Van Deventer, and I am a developmental editor for academic authors, mostly in the humanities, also some in the qualitative or interpretive social sciences. And Caitlin and I were friends in grad school back when she was getting her PhD in French and I was getting mine in comparative literature. We were actually TAs together teaching French language. And Caitlin brought me on to help with her online dissertation to book program. And we eventually developed it into a workbook. And I've worked with a lot of clients on turning their books or turning their dissertations into books. And so I've had the chance to use the exercises in this workbook one-on-one with a lot of clients, in addition to working with people in groups in our online program.
Wonderful. Also, like, what a great story that you met at grad school and this came out of this. I mean, as I said, I'm very happy that this book exists, and I mean, what's very exciting to me about it is that it's really a step-by-step guide on how to really turn your dissertation into a book, and that I think distinguishes it from most books that kind of give advice on the same topic. Can you tell us a bit about how, like, the I mean, you mentioned the online program, but like how this book really came about, and like what was the process like writing a workbook like this together?
Sure, so I can start there. Really, as I mentioned before, this emerged out of my own process, turning my dissertation into a book. And more specifically, it emerged out of what I learned at the peer review stage about how I should have been thinking about my book all along. And for instance, some of the questions that the peer reviewers were asking me at the time I submitted my manuscript around why this collection of works and not other works, or how does this chapter add something to your unfolding book argument? And simultaneously, how does this chapter distinguish itself from what has already been done on this author or this work? And it was really at that point that I realized questions that I should have been asking myself all along. And so I developed some strategies. That was really the moment when I developed the what became the book questions chapter answers exercise, which is really at the heart of our workbook. And that helped me be more successful in revising the manuscript post peer review. And then when my book came out, I talked with a lot of junior scholar colleagues and realized that there wasn't a lot of support, like live support out there for folks who are wanting to turn their dissertations into books. And I realized that I had learned things that I wished I had known before the high stakes peer review stage. And so I started an online boot camp in the summer of 2018, I believe. And really, that was just centered around what ultimately became book questions and chapter answers, and a little bit about evaluating your chapters, but not much more than that. And then the subsequent year, I brought Allison on, and really the curriculum just blossomed from there. There were tons of people who went through the cohorts and other folks who used the materials in written form. And gave feedback to me and to Allison about, oh, well, I don't understand why I do this exercise before this exercise. It seems like if you swap these, it might go better. And it was really in working through the exercises with cohorts of authors and with individual authors that we were able to develop sequencing. And one of the things that you might have noticed is that each of the chapters starts off with what to expect, troubleshoot, or not troubleshoot, what to expect, stumbling blocks, some tips and things. And those really emerged from us using the workbook and knowing exactly where people get tripped up. And so once we had run several years worth of cohorts and turned it into a self-paced curriculum online, the final step was then to turn it into a workbook that would be much more widely accessible. I'm sure Allison can add more about evaluate or about fleshing those exercises out.
Yes, it was really wonderful to be working together as co-leaders of the online program and then co-authors of this book, because we could talk together about problems that we were seeing. Like, oh, have you noticed that these authors, so and so, and this other person and this other person, for example, they seem to be having trouble with this particular issue. How could we rework our exercises so that this issue gets headed off at the pass so authors don't encounter it? And so we really did a lot of reworking along those lines, both when we were revising the online program and then when we were doing the revisions to the book manuscript. We had the most wonderful long meetings where we just talked through everything and brainstormed solutions. And writing the book manuscript was really fun. We work really easily together. One of us drafts material. Often it's Caitlin who drafts it, and then the other one looks over it, and then we go back and forth. And so this workbook is really the product of a lot of careful thinking and reworking.
I mean, it's also really obvious when once you go through the book as well. Like it's really like reading, especially those common discoveries and like common stumbling blocks. You see kind of the experience, life experience that goes into it. And I mean, I want to ask you about these book questions and chapter answers as well. But before then, I mean, you have a lot of experience working with people, probably like post dissertation and trying to turn there. Like, what are some of the most common difficulties or issues that you've seen people experience in this process? And I mean, this coming from, I mean, with the full knowledge that there is no course that you can take, I mean, at universities or at graduate schools to do this, to learn how to do this.
Yeah, so I would say that a couple of the common challenges center around argument and ensuring that there is a coherent book argument, but not really fully understanding what that is. And some of the challenges there come also from just the different genres of the dissertation in the book, so or the different ways that dissertations and books arise. Typically, dissertations start with a plan, but you don't fully know what you're going to be able to accomplish or what your sources are going to be able to support until you actually write through your evidence and come up with chapter-centric arguments about the sources that you're looking at. And so typically, dissertations are a lot more chapter-centric than books need to be, but figuring out how to take this collection of chapter-centric material and produce something that has a book-level argument is not necessarily always intuitive or straightforward. And so sometimes authors sit down and just say, okay, I'm finally going to write my book argument. I'm going to force myself to sit down and write in this book, I argue dot, dot, dot. And often that ends up being very abstract and divorced from the evidence. And so one of the things that the workbook helps you do is understand what a book argument is and produce one, but without actually using the language of argument until quite late in the workbook. I think one of the other things that authors struggle with is knowing what to cut and what to keep. And sometimes authors assume, okay, revising my dissertation into a book is revising my chapters one by one, or something like, oh, well, I know at the book proposal stage, I'm going to need two sample chapters. So I'm going to write my book proposal to get a sense of the whole and sit down and then revise two of my chapters and send that off to a press. And it's not a bad strategy, but we think that there's different work outside of the genre of a book proposal, which is in and of itself its own genre. And sometimes authors can get stuck in that particular piece. We think that there's work that you can do, what we call working on your book, in order to do this big picture thinking that then clarifies a lot of the things about, oh, in chapter two, I was struggling with what to cut and what to keep. And now it's all pretty clear because I have a sense of the whole and what the whole needs to do. Allison works a lot more than I do with individual authors at this point, so I know that she'll have more ideas about what folks struggle with.
Right. So I can say, taking a slightly different angle on the problem, I see a lot of authors who are very busy, often starting out on the tenure track, and they want to make progress on their book, and they may be excited about their book, but they don't want to waste their time. So their time is very, very precious, and they want to make sure they use it well. But what do they do on their book? Do they open up their first chapter to the first sentence and start tinkering with it? Most people have a sense that that's not really what's required. They need to do some big picture thinking. But how do you do that big picture thinking? What do you think about? they've spent all this time writing a dissertation, but what actually comes next in a concrete sense? Some people at that stage will begin working on a chapter, and often I see that this first chapter becomes very long because they have a lot that they want to say in this first chapter. And then, they, by heroic feats of time management, the author may manage to complete this wonderful 60-page chapter, but they know that it can't remain a 60-page chapter. No one wants to read a 60-page chapter. But what do you do next? What I often help them see is that there's a need to distinguish between what the book as a whole is saying and what that chapter is saying. So there's often an impulse when working on this first chapter to cram in all of the important ideas and even a lot of the important background, because, you know, it's your book, you have to say it. And if you're not going to say it in the chapter, then where are you going to say it? But what I help authors see, what we help authors see through these big picture working on the book exercises, is that there's a distinction between the big ideas that the book as a whole is saying and the chapter level iterations of those ideas. And once you grasp what is what, you can start to see what you'll be able to put in the book's introduction, what you can maybe say in the conclusion, what you can say in the introduction to the chapter, and then what is the actual analytical work that the chapter has to do. And once you grasp that, you start to see how the background information might slot in. And so it becomes easier to get that chapter down to a manageable length, knowing that, all right, there are other, your big picture ideas will come out through the book as a whole. Other chapters will address other facets of those big ideas, and the one chapter doesn't have to do it at all.
And I mean, this also brings us easily to the question of actually like book questions and chapter answers. And most of the workbook is actually about figuring out this big picture question, right? Like what my evidence shows and what I can actually argue with that. Can you talk to that a bit as well?
Sure. So in the workbook, like you said, we propose book questions and chapter answers as a way of thinking through the big picture. This is what my book is doing. But I think one of the most important words that you used in framing this is anchored in your evidence. So a lot of times authors tend to think about these big humanities questions that we're trained to ask, like, how does liberty emerge? Okay, yes, that's an important question, and certainly a question that a book could contribute a piece to, but no one book is going to be able to address how liberty emerges in all places, in all times, in all populations, you know, with all evidence bases and things like that. And so what we guide folks and authors to do in the dissertation of book workbook is drafting questions that you actually are able to answer in each chapter in parallel ways, but with different kind of layered contributions of each chapter. And this can be, or we think that this is, we have countless examples of how this is hugely clarifying for authors and helps them pare down in many instances all of these different threads that they were trying to carry across their book and all of these different abstract ideas and concepts. And so at its core, really, book questions and chapter answers help you track the argumentative threads of what your book is doing and then how each chapter contributes a piece of that argument as it unfolds.
Yes, exactly. There's a place for the big questions about significance. You can often identify them with by the words can or might, like how might we be able to talk about eco-critical liberty, something like that. Well, yes, that is that is what we call a significance question, and there is a place for that. But we think that at this easier starting point is a question that is actually answered by the evidence that the book has. And it's often a lot simpler than authors think it is, which doesn't mean that it's simple to come up with. It's often surprisingly challenging to come up with, but it is often more straightforward than authors think. And often it elicits a response of, oh, yes, that's right. That's what my book is saying. I just never thought to put it in those terms. So something like, what tropes do Haitian authors use to represent zombies in their fiction? With the implication being it's a particular body of fiction that this book is looking at. And, you know, for what purposes do they use these tropes? And in our workbook, we guide authors to come up with two or three of these questions. The key thing when coming up with the question is it has to be a question that your book can actually answer. So if you say, which tropes are Haitian authors using, you'd better be prepared to talk in your chapters about which tropes they actually are and name the tropes. So asking and answering the questions is what's important here.
And I mean, following up on that, one of the things that I really enjoyed while going through the book is like all these examples you bring in from a lot of different disciplines, although, yeah, humanities and qualitative social sciences. But the other thing is like actually like dividing up the work into small pieces, which really helped me, at least as I go through, as I think about turning my dissertation into a book. It helps me kind of manage my anxiety around this like big thing that is the book, you know. How did you come up with these like prompts and like questions, exercises that kind of make up the whole book?
Yeah, they definitely emerged over several years. So they didn't just kind of spring fully formed from the ether. But yeah, it was really, you know, in the workbook, we call on authors to get to 80% and then call that good enough. And to we reassure authors that this work is really iterative. So you're going to come back, for instance, to some of the work that you did in chapter two, later in chapter six or five, or at various points in the workbook. And I think the same process really is at the heart of how this workbook emerged, where it emerged in developing these prompts and exercises, seeing what worked well, but also where authors got stuck and trying to solve for those issues. But even as far back as the first iteration of what ultimately became this workbook, one of the priorities has always been to take the guesswork out of what to actually do. And so having targeted prompts and examples has always been part of this curriculum. And a lot of authors have a pretty similar reaction to you where they say, oh my gosh, I don't have to figure out what I need to do. I just need to sit down and do the task that's right in front of me. And maybe one of the other things to highlight here too is that we've seen a variety of authors, hundreds at this point, work through all of these exercises. And sometimes authors feel like getting things perfect is required to move on. And we think that that's really counterproductive. And so in each of the chapters, we actually lay out here is how many hours you should expect to spend on these exercises, and do not spend more than X number of hours, because we've seen authors use, not necessarily use the work, but get stalled out just on completing some of the more minor exercises themselves. And we really want authors to continue with this forward momentum of getting a big picture idea about what their book is doing without getting hung up on the details along the way.
A funny thing is that the framework of book questions and chapter answers didn't emerge until pretty late in the process of writing this book. We had other terms for them, and funnily enough, it wasn't a question and answer framework beforehand. It was we were using the language of like syllabus objectives, thinking about course objectives and then unit objectives. And then at a certain point, we realized, like, okay, we keep encouraging authors to turn their book objectives into questions. Maybe we should just call them questions from the beginning. But the sort of problem that we were trying to solve here with all of this is that in a book, the chapters are fundamentally pieces of a larger whole. And that's really what defines a book, a monograph, as opposed to, say, an edited volume or a collection of essays, even by the same author. If you're aiming to publish an academic monograph, you can't just have a collection of pieces that are all roughly about the same topic or similar topics. You have to have a central argument that's threaded throughout the chapters. But you fundamentally have to write the chapters one by one, really. You can't, it's impossible to work on all the chapters simultaneously. No one does it that way, really. So how do you figure out what they're all saying and how they're all contributing to this book if, practically speaking, you have to work on them one at a time and often in little bits and pieces fit in in the nooks and crannies of a busy teaching schedule? So we hit on this idea of articulating questions that the book as a whole asks, and then finding the answers for every chapter. So every chapter has to give an answer to question one, and then every chapter has to give an answer to question two. So there's a certain parallelism that usually emerges in the answers. And if any chapter, if it's difficult to find an answer to the question for a particular chapter, or if the answer looks really different, that's useful information that has emerged about your book, right? There's something about that chapter that's different, and you can figure out how to handle that difference. So that's the problem that we were trying to solve: how to see the chapters as parts of a larger whole. And this is something that I grapple with my clients in many, many different ways. How is this chapter contributing to the larger whole, and how do I make that clear, even as I'm very deeply in the weeds of a specific analysis of a specific chapter?
And I mean, I found also these exercises very empowering in the sense that once you go through this exercise, you will know a lot of aspects. I mean, you will have to think a lot of aspects of your book that you may be otherwise might not have thought. So it's really, I mean, I found it really empowering. Also, I mean, you also mentioned the pacing suggestions and like have not spent too much time on that one thing. I really felt supported, let's say, as I was going through the book. And also, I mean, you were told, you also mentioned this, but for each chapter, there are these discovery stumbling blocks, but also like debrief support and troubleshooting. How do you think that these should guide or help or support, as I said, the authors that go through them?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, each chapter begins with kind of a broad what to expect and some of the challenges. And then each chapter concludes with debrief support and troubleshooting. And that really was born out of our own experience guiding cohorts through these exercises. And so we collected common experiences at each stage and then tried to lay out some of the common questions that people had after completing the exercises, or some of the common fears, or a lot of the work was both content, so working on your book, but also emotional and psychological in just supporting the authors through persisting with the work. Because if you just think about it and don't actually do the exercises, or if you feel like you're doing it wrong, and that causes you to abandon the work, you're not going to get the insights that we want to support you in getting. And so we thought it was important to lay out, you're not alone if you feel like your book question is too simple, for instance, or you're not alone if you're starting to think that a chapter doesn't belong. Don't worry, we're not going to deal with that right now. We're not going to take any drastic action, but just notice some of these things that are coming up. But we really thought it was important to, as much as possible, try to replicate the coaching model that we're able to use when we have small group cohorts in a an asynchronous, printed workbook.
And I'd like to add my own favorite thing to emphasize throughout these exercises when I'm working with authors, and that is that it's all information that you're gathering about your book. So when you run into difficulties, when you find out that one chapter is different from the others, or when you discover that your organizing principle is not clear, or other things that seem to be problems. I understand if the reaction is to be discouraged. Oh no, maybe my book isn't really a book. But what I want to say is just, it's useful information. It's information that you didn't have, insight into your book that you didn't have before you started doing these exercises. And it's good to know, and with armed with that insight, you can think about how to manage it, how to it's possible that you might need to cut a chapter, but it's also possible that what seems to be an unhelpful difference is actually a useful sort of twist in the book's narrative, or an intriguing extension of the argument, or maybe this is suggesting a different framing of the chapter, and you need to cut some material, and then the chapter will be better focused. So, all of what seem to be difficulties are insights that you can use in a very concrete way to make your book better. And as Caitlin alluded to earlier, it's better to know now than when you're facing peer review.
And I mean, you also talked about you're still running this synchronous program. Is that right? How does that work?
So actually, when the book manuscript was accepted, when the workbook manuscript was accepted for publication, we did have to sunset the previous iteration of the cohort. Now we are running very selective versions of cohort-based programs centered around the workbook itself. So we actually have one coming up in January and February, a 6-week program where folks will work through the workbook and have live meetings, live group meetings with us a couple times a week, and have a discussion board, etc. So We also do institutional programs. So if there's an institution that wants to invite us to work with their authors, we do that as well.
Yes, the earlier iteration of this program had all of the written material posted online in this Teachable course. So that's why we had to take it down, because UChicago Press very understandably didn't want us to put the post all this book online. So the new versions of these of this workshop just use the workbook as the text, essentially, and then we're do we. And we have a model for some community and accountability with a discussion board people can use as they're working through it. And we'll have other workshops, probably slightly different models that we'll develop as we see what people's needs and desires are.
And while we're at it, I will also want to ask, do you only work with people who are turning their dissertations into books, or do you also work with other authors as well? And another question on top of that, must the dissertation be your first book always?
Yeah, so these are very common questions. The answer is no to both. The exercises that we put forth in the dissertation to book workbook work for any book, regardless of whether it's based in a dissertation or whether it's a first book. So they work for third, 57th books. And especially there, I think there's definitely an underserved population of authors where they already might have published their first book from their dissertation and are now conceiving of or working through the material for their second book. But because it emerged in a different way, the process for actually completing that book feels quite different than the first book, and they feel like they're a little bit lost at sea in producing the second book, even though they already have a first book on their CV. And so these exercises work for any scholarly monograph in the humanities or qualitative social sciences. They help you evaluate your project through a variety of angles, tighten the argument and thread it throughout the chapters, and make sure that your argument is actually anchored in the evidence that you have. But it does require, or the work is most effective when you have about 50% of the material that will become your book manuscript drafted. However, when we say that, we are talking about notes, we're talking about conference papers, we're not talking about having fully polished chapter drafts ready to go. We're talking, basically, the barometer is, do you reasonably know what 50% of your chapters are going to be able to say with some degree of certainty because you've actually analyzed the sources that you're going to mobilize in your chapters? Certainly, the workbook can help if you just have an idea for a book and you want to kind of poke at it. But at a certain point, you need to actually work through the sources and the evidence that you're going to mobilize in order to know whether this good seeming idea is actually going to be borne out by your sources.
Yeah, and approach the same idea from a slightly different angle. I recently had a client ask me a question. They had had a discouraging experience with peer review, and they said, "How could I avoid this with my next monograph? I have this book that I want to write, but I tend to write one chapter and then I finish it, and then I write another chapter and I finish it. And so, how can I make sure that the book is capable of doing what I set out to do when I can't come up with an argument at the beginning or even a proto argument?" And so I said that I recommend producing a pile of draft material, as Caitlin was describing, research notes, free write analysis of your sources, conference papers, a journal article if you want to, just a pile of draft material, at least 50% or so of your book. And this is comparable to what your dissertation would be. So your dissertation, if you're turning it into a book, serves as that pile of draft material. But assuming that you're drafting this new book, then you have to come up with that pile of draft material by some other means. So conference papers, notes, lecture notes, talks, whatever. Come up with these materials. And then I would say start this process of what we call working on your book, where you come up with the book questions and then you figure out how the chapters are going to answer them. And at that point, you really can use our workbook if you want to. We even give suggestions about which chapters you can skip if you're in this kind of process and which you can go through more quickly or pay more attention to. So yeah, take your draft material and work on it with these questions and answers, thinking about how the chapters are laid out, what we call the organizing principle. So what is the underlying logic that governs the chapters? And by doing that, you'll be able to get a better idea of how the book is working as a book and how each chapter is contributing to it. So even if you haven't at this point completed the sentence, "This book argues that," you should have these solid questions and chapter answers that outline the book's priorities. And then you can go through, draft a chapter, maybe then draft another chapter, maybe go back and polish the first one a little bit, then draft a third. And by working iteratively in this way, without expecting perfection in any one piece, you should be able to come up with a book that is a lot more unified and cohesive than it would have been if you had just written one chapter at a time, like a series of essays.
Thank you so much. And I mean, any last words of encouragement, advice for the book authors out there listening?
You're not alone. And these struggles, many of the struggles that you're probably experiencing are quite universal. And so I guess what I would say is take the leap, look at your book, work on your book, be patient, but also work quickly. And like Allison mentioned earlier, you will get a ton of information that will then help you draft a stronger and more cohesive book in the end. But you're not alone, and we're here for you, even if in asynchronous format.
You're not alone, and it feels hard because it is hard. I mean, we don't want to make it sound as though writing a book is an easy process, or though as though coming up with these questions and the answers is a simple thing. No, it's not. It's a lot of work. And you're managing a huge amount of information, and trying to synthesize that and figure out how it all fits together is genuinely difficult. So, but I believe in all of you authors. You can do this. Take it one piece at a time. You're not alone. And the time that you spend thinking about your book as a whole is not wasted at all. It will make the rest of your book process go much more smoothly.
Thank you so much, Caitlin Knox and Alison van de Winter, for joining us today. It was really a pleasure talking to you and pleasure reading your book.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much.
Until next time.